Shanti. We are very privileged tonight to hear from one of the senior brothers of the Brahma Kumaris, Brother Brij Mohan, who lives in Delhi when he's there. He lives in Shantivan when he's there. He travels planet Earth when he's there, either physically or in his angel form. And he's one of the most of the senior brothers, and he specializes in many things, but Brij Mohan Bhai has a talent and an art of doing the special service of the politicians of India from the highest level. And he's been doing this for 30, 40, 50 years, long time. And he's been a mentor for me when I first came to India, into Delhi in 75. And I thought he was about 6'7", actually, when I met him, because he had such a grasp of the BK knowledge that he shared so clearly, and he shared about the structure and the regulations of the BKs. And so it's a privilege to have known you for that long, Bhaiji. And today the guests, Brij Mohan Bhai, all went down in 5 buses and 1 taxi down to Shantivan to do a full tour of the solar facility, the cooking in the big kitchen, the new renovations at Diamond Hall, and they had lunch down there. Ram Lotion Bhai arranged lunch for, I think there's 200 people or something. And it's an overwhelming that to see the size of the Brahma Kumaris. And I wanted to start with a question to you. What year did you become a BK?
I was 21 years of age, and it was
1955. I was 4 years old. And so was Joe. The reason I ask that is that we come to the mountaintop to see this vast institution and the growth, especially when you see Shantivan and the whole complex. What was it like, a very new Brahma Kumaris organization, just moved to India from Pakistan, from Karachi, and opening up or beginning the service of India in those early days? What would you say is the big difference? What's your experience from that year and that time to now?
The message is the same, but it has spread worldwide. So that is the difference. A small sapling has become a big banyan tree. But in a sense, everything is the same. The sense with which it started.
So you went out with a group of dedicated sisters and brothers to teach a new knowledge, a new yoga that was a little bit contrasting to traditional, what I understand to be traditional Hindu, where God is not omnipresent and Sri Krishna.
First, kindly tell me about the audience. Are they totally new to Brahma Kumaris?
Pretty much so, yeah. But right. Close.
Okay, fine. So, what was your question?
I've been coming to India for half a century, yes, almost. Yes. And the more I come here, the more I realize how the BK knowledge, the Brahma Kumaris philosophy, is very different to traditional Hinduism, from the fact that we don't worship God. Women are in charge of the spiritual organization versus the traditional gurus. And
Well, right from the beginning, the Brahma Kumaris distinguished themselves from the traditional Indian religion called Hindu.
Yeah.
And we have begun as a spiritual organization, not as a religious organization. And that is why it embraces and encompasses all people, because of the common denominator called soul or spirit inside of us. So from the beginning itself, even people used to say, the Hindus, that we doubt whether you are Hindu or not. But Hindu by itself is also an all-encompassing religion, and it includes even atheists. But that is still a religion. But we go by the common denominator of all humanity, that is soul. And that makes not only a small difference to bring us together, but it makes a very big difference in the sense that as souls we are eternal, immortal, imperishable. So that is the beginning, the first lesson of the Brahma Kumaris, which is entirely different from all types of religions of the body, because all religions are related to the body. And body itself is mortal. So it means we belong to a religion either by birth or by adoption with this body. And when this body dies, then the religion also dies. But spirituality is immortal. And that gives you a sense of stability, eternity, which is very, very deep and I think unique in the whole world. That distinguishes the Brahma Kumaris from other religions. I will not go further, because if you ask me another question, that will be better.
All right. Brother Bridgman, you must be what, 91? 92?
Around.
Apparently he stopped having birthday parties.
Because this is a strange world. When people become 90, they start calling themselves 100. Because that is like that.
Is that right? Brother Bridgman also has a fantastic sense of humour. And he is I wouldn't call an amateur magician, but I have seen some of his magic tricks. And you would call him in the West a stand-up comic, and he's been able to weave the magic of all this knowledge that you're beginning to be aware of into such an entertaining process, and can actually talk. He says, he's told me, he can talk about anything, anywhere, at any time.
This phrase, anything, anywhere, anytime, is just opposite to what I had talked. I had talked of eternity, stability, imperishable, and anything, anywhere, anytime. In today's situation, of course, anything can happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But that is the sort of most perishable situation. Already people feel many times that when they leave the body, they will leave everything. They have fear of death. And when it comes to that situation, that anything, any time, anywhere, it means that more hopelessness. There is no faith, there is no actually inclination, no purpose to life left. So we are talking of the opposite, that each one of us, all of us, are eternal beings. We are eternal actors on this drama stage, wearing different costumes for various scenes and sights as the drama unfolds. So that is very important, because if you are eternal, whatever you earn or you acquire or you gain, you can carry forward eternally. And if you are perishable, then there is always a fear of losing. So to overcome fear, first of all, it is very important to know that I do not die, I do not perish with leaving of this body. A tree, a big tree, which is the biggest tree in your country? Banyan tree?
No, a eucalyptus gum.
Eucalyptus.
Native of Australia.
Eucalyptus, which goes high,
yeah,
but spread so much, no. Whatever. Everyone may have the biggest tree of your country in your mind. And just think, it grew out of a seed. And of course there is a period of growth, roots, sapling, trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, fruits, whatever. But one day that tree dies and we use its wood. Perhaps this chair might have been made of the wood of a big tree here. But is that tree dead? It leaves a small seed again, and from that seed again, the same type of tree is reborn. If it is of a bitter mango, it will produce only bitter mangoes. Whatever taste of mango the seed has, all the mangoes will grow. So this shows eternity, and everybody must have asked sometime or the other a question. The egg first or hen first, you know, please ask them. Egg first or hen first?
You ask them.
Yes. So, the answer is, egg comes out of hen and hen comes of egg. So it is eternal. Similarly, the tree comes off the seed and seed comes out of the tree. And here also, the body comes out of the soul, and soul never dies again. When the body is left, another body comes out of the soul. So this is very important, because soul is the essence. And not only the essence, in fact, soul is the life source, soul is the experiencer, this is only our medium of action, expression, and getting the experiences. Now, if I ask them, do the eyes look, or someone else is looking through the eyes? Please ask them.
What do you think?
The eyes, are the eyes looking, or someone else is looking through the eyes? No answer.
Someone else said that someone else is looking.
And who is listening or hearing? Are the ears hearing, or hearing aids hearing, or someone else is hearing? When I talk of hearing aids, you know, there were very expensive hearing aids, costing lot, and one was very beautiful but costing the minimum. So a person went and asked, does it work? Has it any machinery? They said, no. Just you put it on, the other person will know you are hard of hearing, he will speak louder. You see? Like that. So it performs its function. Nice. Okay. So what I am trying to say is that this is only an instrument. You can replace the eyes, you can replace many parts of the body. Body itself is replaceable. So then who has all the emotions, for instance love? Will you like to hug a dead body?
No.
So it means there is a soul inside which really is loving. And when I talk of love, I have another thought. Why all people say fall in love? Why don't they say rise in love? Can you ask them?
So what do you think? Would you fall in love or would you rise in love? Rise, maybe. The front rows rise, yes? At the back? Rise.
How?
You expect me to answer that, or
if you are considering yourself to be the body, you fall. And if you are considering yourself to be the soul, you rise. So simple. Because it is heavy, it is made of elements of nature, and it is subject to gravity. So therefore you fall. And if you are the soul, which is not subject to gravity, because gravity leads to a graveyard, and graveyard means elements of the nature in the form of body, they have to disintegrate thereafter. That is the disintegrating point. So therefore, so long as the soul is in the cage of this body, it cannot rise. And you make increase its speed to the fastest, but still it will be moving horizontally. And if you free it, it will go up. So simple. So that is why soul is important. Any emotion, any feeling, and I may tell you, in fact the soul does not absorb even a single small element of nature. Soul is spirit, it is spiritual. So everything that the soul requires, someone was talking of happiness here, your announcer, huh? So this happiness, etc., etc., who is experiencing? The soul. And do you want permanent happiness, momentary happiness, short-lived happiness? The answer will be, what will be the answer? Permanent happiness.
Permanent happiness. Okay. Yeah.
Now where will you keep it? If you are blessed by Almighty today with permanent happiness, where will you keep it?
In your pocket?
It's a question.
It is a question, yeah.
The pocket, well.
It's a very bad answer, I know, but that's all I could think of.
From pocket, I remember another incident. A child was taught by the Brahma Kumaris that God is not everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
That was the first point which attracted me also to the Brahma Kumari, that God cannot be everywhere. Now, in the school, a lecturer came and started talking on the subject that God is everywhere. Now the child was feeling that God is not everywhere. And this person is teaching God is everywhere, but he could not express himself. So the child stood up and asked, "Sir, is God in my pocket also?" The professor said, "Yes." He said, "I have no pocket." You see? So there he proved his point like that, you know.
Okay.
So like that, what you said about happiness in your pocket, and if you give the shirt for dry cleaning, then what? Where does happiness go?
That's right. Okay. Well, what are the things I could ask, like you? His brother Bridgman has a very entertaining delivery. And I want to try and get him back onto the history, your experience, because you have seen the beginning, not just of India as a country, and without the British around, but you've seen the beginning of this Brahma Kumaris institution from the grassroots, from the sapling. Could you share, excuse me for diverting you away from the pocket, but what was it like? I mean, you had, you know, it was very small. There were a few dedicated teachers and a few new students like you. But what was that like historically?
That is only history, you know. If you like, I can narrate history. But they say that the only lesson a person learns from history is that they learn no lesson from history. If you want me to narrate history, I can do that.
Okay, so you must have learned something.
Basic thing is, I am talking of the essence. And you are talking of the growth. So if I talk of growth, most people will be lost. And if I talk of a sense, small thing they can carry in their little pocket also,
okay,
which is the soul. That is why I am avoiding, but it is obvious Brahma Kumaris have grown.
Uh-huh.
But each Brahma Kumari, just as each mango of the mango tree will have the same taste. Similarly, whether on left branch or right branch or the lower branch or the higher branch. So the beauty is, because of that essence, you go to any part, don't look at the body of the Brahma Kumaris or the age or sweetness of tongue. Those things differ because that is all physical. But essence will be the same. That also people are surprised. What type of education the Brahma Kumaris are giving, that all talk of the same thing wherever you go. So that is a unique point. That is again because of the essence.
Okay. Well, on another, because the topic this evening is about the history of the Brahma Kumaris.
Yeah.
However,
so instead of telling the history, you look at me, I am the history in person.
And it's also his story.
So I have brought the history.
You're the working history.
Personified.
Living history. I'm a mini history, but you're the maximum history.
So therefore, you can ask me any period of the history, I will describe. Basic thing is, it gives us a real purpose in life. Normally, anyone you ask, what will be the purpose of your life? They will say prosperity, they will say long life, whatever, okay? But that ends with the body, okay? Now here, the purpose of life goes farther and beyond, because whatever improvement you bring in your soul, that is serving you now and hereafter. So that is the very important thing. And what type of improvement? Holistic improvement. Here you have to work separately for your health and separately for your wealth, and then again do something for your happiness and a jumble of those things. One of the things fails, and so you are all the time moving around. Huh? It is not so. Instantly, you start feeling the difference, and that is, you had talked of the word magic. So really, this is magical knowledge, and if you like, I can demonstrate some magic to them.
Could we
Well,
one of the magical things that I would ask
everything.
Everything is magical.
Everything magical, yes.
However, the specific magic that I want you to share is the magic of Brahma Baba.
Baba himself was captivated by that magic. Magic is of Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
He is the greatest magician. Mm-hmm. After all the wonderful things you see in this world, all the cleanliness that he brings out is Almighty. And magic means only making things disappear and reappear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we can do all of you want to disappear?
Do you want to disappear? Well, you're going to on Sunday anyway, so this is, they're leaving on Sunday to return.
Of course, it is only magical disappearance. They should not be frightened. Okay. And they will come back again.
Achha.
Yes,
do you want to demonstrate that now?
You want to disappear?
At the moment, if
then
I can...
Then who will ask me the question? Okay. So all of us have come from our residences, isn't it?
Correct.
You must be having a nice residence in your country. Both the brothers may be living together. These days you do not know whether the brothers live together or they have back.
No, back. All together.
Okay, fine. Nice. So, all of us have come from our residences. And we must be having a wash basin, of course.
Yes.
These days, very common. And a tap.
Mm.
Okay. So we know, we have cognizance, we are aware of our residence and where the wash basin is located, and where, of course, there is a tap. Now, let us all for a moment go back and open the tap of our wash basin. What type of water is coming? Supposing it is hot water, you do not want hot water, and you start blaming the tap why you are giving hot water. But is the tap responsible for the hot water or something else? Or the water tank above? What is the answer? Green water, hot water, dirty water, filter, what, any type of water coming from the tap. So, will you blame the tap for that quality of water, or it is the tank somewhere from where it is coming?
Tank,
right. So therefore, we have to return. So water is very precious these days, so please close your tap and come back here.
So that's two trips, two visits to the water, the basin.
So therefore, we are where our mind is. And you will be surprised. The Brahma Kumaris will teach you. They have a morning meditation session, of
yes.
course.
Yeah.
So the Brahma Kumaris will teach you the most difficult thing. And that is to get away from your body, become bodiless, and try to be outside of your body because you are a soul. Okay? And you will think it is very, very difficult for us to do that. We have never been doing that. But tell me, whole day, for how much time you really remain in your body? Whole day. You are eating food, your mind is somewhere else. My passport has been lost or something, huh? All the time, for how much time you really remain in the body? During sleep, of course, you can have dreams, nightmares, whatever. But even while awake, How much time you remain in the body? You are taking shower, you are thinking of something, you are walking, you are all the time thinking. And if somebody tells you not to think, you are then thinking not to think, but you are still thinking. So we already have out of body experience. So I gave you taste of it momentarily.
Yes.
Yes. So how nice it is when you find somebody not talking good of you, talking something wrong, you don't like something, get lost. And when that fellow is tired, come back in your body. What is the difficulty? So that is the thing. So
you want to do an example,
your television, you open the channel that you like. Of course, when you are fed up, you close it. Similarly, here you open the channel of your mind. You can be away, you can be close. It is your choice. You can be in your country, you can be in Switzerland, wherever you want, without any cost, without any ticket, without any visa. Such is the power you have got. What more? So this is the magic of Brahma Kumaris.
Mm-hmm. What about...
Because when a person gets into a difficult situation, this big problem, and gets stuck up, instead of flying, gets paralyzed. What is the story of the pigeon and the cat?
The pigeon and the cat.
Pigeon and the cat.
You have to tell us.
Why the pigeon gets caught?
Why did
the cat pounces on the pigeon,
yep,
and kills it? Why it is so? When pigeon has special powers like all of us have, pigeon can fly. Okay.
Yep.
Cat cannot fly.
Cat cannot fly, no.
And when there is a risk to the pigeon, it can fly on the roof of the house, but it gets paralyzed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it could fly, then it won't be caught. Here also, we all can fly, as I am telling you, magically. And why should we be there and unnecessarily close our eyes that the danger is away, and just I close my eyes to everything, there is no answer to any, I will get caught. And every day we get caught in one situation to another. In between, there is some relief. We call it happiness. Actually, it is some relief only. From one trouble to another.
You have the privilege of your long life in the Brahma Kumaris as a student and one of its leaders. I've seen a photo of you with Brahma Baba.
Yes.
And you looked very happy. And you knew him. You worked with him. You took his directions. What was he like as a person?
I have only one photo with Brahma Baba.
One more than me?
One only photo.
I have none.
No, that's because, you know, it is better for you. Because if you get yourself photographed and the other one is gone, then you only feel sad. Mm-hmm. So it is better not to have photographs so that you don't feel separation. That is very good. Mm-hmm. And all people who have not met Brahma Baba, they have this advantage. Because you can meet the subtle Brahma. And mm-hmm. I will have a photograph at a fixed point. I remember where I got it photographed. So I will go back to that. It is again history. So history will give me nothing. A photograph cannot give you that joy which the real one gives. So everything has both sides of the coin. Now it is for us to choose which side suits me. That's all.
Mm-hmm. So what was he like?
So we are deviating, I think. So please ask me a question.
I just did. Yes. What was Brahma Baba? I mean, my own father passed away when I was 7 years old. So my Joe and I grew up without a daddy, without a father. And when I first went to the centre in London, I saw this black and white photo of Brahma Baba. And I asked one of the sisters, I said, "Who is that?" And she said, "That is your father." And I didn't think here, how can it be? No, he's not. He's Indian. I'm Australian. And I thought, that's nice.
First of all, we are not physical, biological children of Brahma Baba. We are spiritual children of Brahma Baba. And a soul never dies. So therefore, with that spiritual relationship, there is only the joy of meeting and no sorrow of separation. He is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also be there.
I will be with you.
Yes. All of us can be there. So first basic thing to know is what uniqueness this Brahma Baba had got. Brahma, there is only one Brahma Baba in the world. There can be many religious founders, many gurus, many people like you and me, but only one Brahma Baba. What does that signify? If they want to know, I can tell.
Please.
First of all, they should be wanting to know. If they start yawning, then I will not be able to tell. You know, the whole of human race mostly believes in Supreme Father, okay? Incorporeal God, Father of incorporeal soul. Now the question is of this body. Who is the father of the original, we can say, first man, first person of our this body? It looks a difficult statement.
Mm.
Well, all of us have fathers, physical fathers. You go back, regress. We have religious divine fathers who founded our religion. But they also had their fathers. Any religious founder, let us name Buddha, he also had a physical father. Achha. Then who was the father of that father and you regress? Where will you reach? You will reach to the first man, physically. There are two fathers now. One is the spiritual, supreme soul. So our ancestor of the bodies is Brahma Baba. Because after all, the bodies have been born. That is why the whole world believes in two people, two beings. One is Almighty God and other is Brahma Baba by different names. They may call him Adam. Muslims call him Baba Adam and by any, the first man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first man, why first man? What was before that? Because I have told you that nothing perishes. Even science says that matter is indestructible, it only changes its form. That is for the matter. Soul itself is imperishable. So it has to be an eternity. When I am eternal, you are eternal. So we require eternal bodies eternally and a drama stage also and some family, friends, relatives like that. So in that sense, we have to identify two fathers, the father of the soul and the father of the body. So that is one. But why he is called first man? From where did he come? I think I am making it complex for them. Basically, it's a question of humanism or humane or called the qualities of the human being. So before that, before him, human beings got into animal instinct. They were called, their animal instinct was aroused and they were all started saying man is an animal. It's one of the species. So they started actually behaving like animals. And that is, even today you find, they are in human form, but they are worse than so many species. So to change them into, back into human beings, or to say the divine beings, was the role of Brahma. So that is why Brahma is revered, he is considered as first prophet by the Muslims and many other religious traditions. Mm. So in the physical form, and he also belonged to the entire humanity. Any divine father will have his own branch. Say Christians, they have a big branch of Christianity and they straighten it and make it a Christmas tree. It's a branch, you straighten it. It doesn't have roots. But entire humanity believe in their first ancestor who made us human beings was Brahma. And before that we were like human beings, animals in human form. So that is the transformation which he brought. Not he brought, he himself was also transformed by Almighty. So there is a link between two people, two entities are called creators, God the creator, and then Brahma the creator, or called Adam the creator, or like that. So this is ticklish, but this is the, in a sense the fact. So let us change into something lighter. Huh? Yeah.
Because
let us get a question from audience.
Well, I was yes, thank you. Because what you can ask anything, because, and Brijmal and Bhai, my experience has been he will know the answer, or he will give an answer. So does
anything, anytime, anywhere, huh?
To the subject matter rather than everything. So someone has got a... So you'll have to speak up, sister. No, brothers, the sister's first here.
Mother, wonderful question. Really, I am enthralled to listen to this question. Where is the mother? We have been all talking of only fathers, fathers and fathers, maybe biggest father, but where is the mother?
Good question. Thank you,
yes.
Sister.
Very important. Without mother, there cannot be a father. Okay?
Yep.
It is just a title of a father, but in fact there can be no father without mother. Okay? Everyone agreed?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Without mother, there can be no brother and sister, no son, no daughter, no family. Okay? Such is the importance of mother. Now, we have been calling God as our Father, Supreme Father, but by what relation? God is eternal, we are eternal, and we start Him calling Father. In church also we start calling the priest as Father. In the city, the mayor as a father. India, they have a father of nation called Gandhi. But they are not real father. They cannot be father without mother. So that is a very, very deep connecting point. How Brahma Kumaris institution, they really got the relationship of father with God, that was through mother. So, please note that mother is always adopted. A mother in the family is always adopted from another family. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When a marriage takes place, the girl comes from another family.
Correct.
Not your sister doesn't become your wife, okay?
Correct.
So it means mother is adopted. So how this system of adoption of mother arose in the beginning? Because God adopted a mother. To become father, God adopted a mother. So long as God was in God's own abode, he was father only for namesake. But when we say God has to adopt us as children, everything is by adoption here, spiritual children, so must have a mother to adopt. So Brahma Baba is the mother, spiritually adopted mother of the Supreme Being, and through the mouth of Brahma Baba, of the Adam, all of us are adopted as spiritual children. So this is the thing. That is why in India only, you know, in Bharat, this country, where all this spirituality is taught, this country is called motherland. The scripture of this country called Gita is called Mother, Gita Mata. All the holy rivers are called Mata, Ganga Mata, Yamuna Mata. And here there is worship of the mothers top. For every discipline of life, we have a mother. For food supplies, we have got Annapurna. Today's Murli also, there is a mention that how could that Annapurna feed the whole world? But for knowledge, wisdom, we have got Saraswati Mother. For money, wealth, we have got Lakshmi Mother. For but so mother's role is very important, and it is a spiritual mother, spiritual adoption. And for that reason, up to today, a mother is adopted to make a family.
Thank you.
Very nice question. Beautiful. We were missing something, huh?
Yeah. Do we have one other question?
Yes.
Please.
Sir, what is your views about the evolutionary theory?
Evolutionary theory.
Did you get that?
Well, human beings, out of curiosity, they have formulated different theories about origin of the world and the progress of the world and so on. And one of those wonderful things is the evolutionary theory.
Evolution, okay.
Of course, those who made this theory, they themselves rejected it later on, because they said that man has evolved from monkey, and still there are monkeys in this world. So therefore their theory is false, because all would have become men and have a tail without tails. So that is a different thing. But basically there is theory of evolution, then there is theory of divinization, then theory of revelation, and so many things. But basically, a theory means what? Something theoretical, not practical. And there is a saying that a ton of theory, an ounce of practice is better than a ton of theory. So we have plenty of theories, but it has been already settled long back that human beings have limited intellect related to their own birth and death. No human being knows even about their own past and their own future. And the Brahma Kumaris, what they are doing, we started with today, anything can happen to anyone, anytime, anywhere. But that is today's situation, when we are so lost in so many theories. But in fact, our real divine perfect form, at that times, it was everything happened at the right time. Please note, right time, right place, and in the right manner. That is, your life becomes eternally happy, blissful. But if one of the factors is changed, either the time factor is changed, or the place is changed, or the manner of performance is changed, then it will go wrong. Supposing a person is a very good singer, but that person starts singing at midnight, disturbing the sleep of others, so the time factor is not correct. Or something, place. There is a party going on, a person wears black clothes and goes there in the morning style, that will not fit because the place is not suitable. And the manner is most important, because if something done in the proper manner, it will definitely succeed. But if your manner, say in my presentation, some ego comes, some selfish motive comes, then I will not be able to deliver what I want. Supposing now I have to go after this, our dialogue, downstairs to Shantivan, and I have no car, and I know this brother has car, and I am talking to everyone but addressing him specially with the motive that after the thing I will request him for a lift. So that is called vicious action. Action motive. So therefore, mannerism and truthfulness and purity, selflessness is important. So anyone can try, even in this world, full of mud, to be like a lotus by changing their own thinking and learning the magic of having all the things that you like and making all things you dislike disappear. Even for 5 minutes, if we start thinking of all good things of my life when I was very happy, so you will become happy inside, and you are sitting and you are looking so happy, so a stranger will say, "Oh, you look so happy, what you are thinking?" He doesn't even know what you are thinking. So it comes on your face. Mm-hmm. So why not we, it is in our hands, why should we always tune the sad things of life and then cry and feel sad, get into troubles of the traffic on the road, why not fly? So therefore I said, rise in love. Because love is a very great factor as a petrol of the soul. It can carry you instantly and joyfully to wherever you want. When it is not love, just now I am feeling they have become now bored. So like that, then you know you lose the... I think it is enough. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to keep asking, because we've got you till 7:30 before this brother here takes you down in the car. To Shantivan.
Yeah.
Is that okay? We can keep. Do you want, have you got anyone, maybe from over here, someone wants to ask a question?
Yes.
Brother.
Okay. I would like to ask whether you can share one personal moment, the most profound and moving moment in your spiritual life.
What is the most profound spiritual experience in your life would you share?
Well, there are so many, and it will take me time to find out, select which one I should state. But one thing is there, that once you surrender your life completely to someone, you don't bring interference of your own thoughts, and someone who is almighty, plus the mother who is also unique, then wonderful things happen which you cannot imagine. So many wonderful things happened, and I can narrate you one.
Please.
Long back, our this Mount Abu headquarters, Pandav Bhavan, the kitchen complex had to be rebuilt, and a big building opposite, now called Om Shanti Bhavan, had to be constructed. And 120 tons of cement was required for that.
120 tons.
Yeah. Okay. I was in Delhi, and in Delhi, capital of India, is the office of the Cement Controller of India. Normally, the cement was, in those days, was distributed to different states, and people could get 20 bags in a quarter against a ration card. And only military and civil works people were given cement freely. So I was assigned the job of getting 120 tons of cement for this work. Now I am telling you exactly what happened. So I go to the cement controller's office after us inquiring. That person is sitting with talking to someone. When that other person is gone, he says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" Now see, I just ask him, "To which city do you belong?" Normally nobody will ask such a question, but I ask him, "To which city you belong?" And he names my city where I belonged. Okay, that could be incidental. Then I ask him, "In which school you studied?" And he tells me my school in which I had studied, primary high school. And he was not my classmate, but 1 year senior to me. Then we exchanged the name of teachers of that time, school teachers. Then we shared that our school band used to stand first in this, and so on. After 3 minutes, we went into our childhood. I forgot, and he forgot he is the cement controller, and I forgot I had come for this purpose. And after that he said, "Yes, what I can do for you?" Then I tell him, "I am a Brahma Kumar, I have come for one." He said, "Oh, 120 tons, you are going to make a dam?" No, I said, no, it is like this, our institution. Then in those days, the ministry had lot of control over. He said, "It is difficult, but wait, I will get you that cement. Such and such religious person had got cement for a big building. You leave it to me." And he not only sanctioned that cement and told me there are two types of cement. One is PPC, one is APC, and this one is different, and how there is a cartel of the transport. That is detail. But tell me, normally will a person ask such questions? And which such incidents collide so that work is done? So it means that there is a higher power which is working to get things done. And this is only one incident I have told you.
Okay. And yesterday we all went to Om Shanti Bhavan for a class with Sister Shivani, her final class, yes, of her time here. And now, as you were talking, I just remembered the building of Om Shanti Bhavan, but I didn't know how the cement came. Just extraordinary.
Yes.
Do we have another
and
question?
And my whole life is filled with such experiences. Baba got me passed in my exam, Baba got me the job. All those things, they are all wonderful. But that is why I say, once you surrender, because with my intellect, I can have a limited type of thinking. according to my limitation. I may think I am very wise person, very no. Here, all factors, many factors need to come together for such things to happen. And that only, he knows my future, he knows my past, that this fellow was my class fellow, he belonged to my city, and then how these things related, remember the name of our teachers. There used to be a Sikh gentleman, teacher, and he had beard here only. His caste was Sodhi. So we used to call him Cock Sodhi as it in school. I said, you remember that Cock Sodhi teacher and like that. So how it can happen? Unless you know there is some power working like that.
And look at the result that we were able to sit in this magnificent place
yesterday. So all of these brothers and sisters, if they learn this art of soul functioning through the mind and not through this limited body and limited intellect, getting higher pure power, wonders can be done. This is how the Brahma Kumari, you ask me how spread, because the essence, anybody can experience it. And once a person experiences, he understands my entire well-being, my life, my longevity, my health, my wealth, everything, all not as per human standards, but as per divine standards are set. You tell me, has nature put price on anything in this world? This is a simple question. Has nature put price on anything in the world? On water, on fruits, on crops, on anything? No. And today, we human beings, out of our great intelligence and wisdom, sell water in a bottle. And that we are not sure about its quality. Nature gives you water from the sky, water from the surface, water from the well also. But see, so we are so wise and we have put price to everything. Even human beings are sold and bought. So we have to come out of that. And then you see the wonders of the great Almighty and this nature. And that is the word is called paradise. Finish? Mm. Okay.
We got time for one more. We have one more question. And okay.
Good day, brother. You talk about the magic of the soul's journey. My question is a simple one that I'm asking myself since long. Is it a must that after the soul experience the journey, that the human brain record everything of this, or may it happen that after the experience of the soul's journey, the soul remembers but the human brain forgets? Thank you, brother, for your answer.
Brother, you explained to me the question.
I think I understand. I believe you were asking, sister, about whether on the journey of life.
No, she's talking of soul's journey and
the soul
brain.
And whether the soul something remembers like or the brain remembers.
Whatever I have understood on that basis, I will reply. Then she can correct me. You know, there are two things. One is brain, that is part of the physical body, and other is intellect, that is a faculty of the soul. Similarly, there is a heart, which is a part, physical part of the physical body, and there is the mind, which is a faculty of the soul. So, as through different organs, the soul functions differently. If soul has to look, it will use the eyes. If it has to hear, it uses the ears. if it has to smell like that. So it uses the brain to function, to control, you know, the entire sensory systems of the body. So brain itself is just an organ for the soul to use its intellect. So when the soul performs the journey, the memory remains in the soul, but it is retained in the brain cells also. Because just as eyes see and they see something, the soul sees through the eyes, but eyes also remember that I went to Switzerland, I did boating there and like that. So there is a combination of the two, but the main thing is the memory remains in the soul, and here is just a reflection of that memory in any organ which we use. Supposing my hand is burnt somehow. Now the soul felt the pain of the hand burning, but still when I think of that incident, that hand will also come into my mind, and I will look at my hand, this is my left hand got burnt and this and that. So like that it is. The controlling power is the soul, and the memory is also in the soul. When soul goes out, the memory finishes after some time. All the doctors tell us, when souls go out, different organs remain alive for a little time, because that life is the remnant of what the soul had in it. Even if you cut an animal, soul will go, but for some period the body will flutter. So it is like that only. I don't know whether I have...
Does that answer your question? Okay.
Okay.
I could listen to Bridge Bound By for days, but you've had a very big day today, and today the Peace of Mind program gets turned from page 1 to page 2. So we're beginning the exit. And what I could ask of you, would you like to have some meditation led by our brother Bridge Bound? Would you lead us in remembrance of the father and mother?
Well, I'm not expert in giving commentary.
No commentary
required. I can give silence. Huh?
This is vibrations. This is a love crowd. They love the vibrations, right?
Yes.
Is that correct? So if you would be happy, but before we do, because when we'll finish in silence and then go to dinner. But could we just, if you could put your hands together for appreciation of Brother Bridgebone. So we'll sit in our soul aware stage and fly to the home of soul, where this red light reminds us that we all come from the same place, and enjoy Brother Bridgebone's vibrations.